You ready, Hugh?
I'm ready.
Are the Phillies ready?
Yes, they are.
Is Aaron Nola ready?
Yeah.
See, you didn't give as much confidence
on that
one.
I think he's ready.
You didn't give as much.
I mean, I think he's ready.
Is Alec Bohm ready? Because he might be playing for his job tonight. Welcome back. Midday Show, 215-592-9494 for Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Coming up 12:30, we'll be joined by Ross Tucker. We know he's into Red October and also his thoughts on the NFL as we enter Week 6. Eagles-Browns. Eagles, the biggest favorite in the NFL this weekend, by the way, against the Cleveland Browns. And one more quick thing before we get back to the Phils. And I want to bring up something I kind of felt during yesterday's show.
What you feel?
Well, I'll get to that. But, Hugh, first we got to thank our friends over at New Deck Tavern, where you're going to be tonight for the Hugh Hopes Watch Party.
Hugh Hopes Watch Party.
They brought us lunch today.
Yes, they did.
Incredible food. The hummus, yeah. The pretzels, the fries, all great. What did you have?
I had the cheesesteak rolls and I had a sandwich.
I think Kyle had a cheesesteak, I believe it was.
Cheesesteak, egg rolls.
Good stuff over pretzels. There. So tonight, you're going to be there, Hugh. Game 3 Phillies Watch Party at the New Deck Tavern in University City, all brought to you by our friends at Miller Lite.
Yes, and make sure you bring your rally towels and let's unite, you know, for the fightings. Come an hour before the game and enjoy $1 Miller Lite drafts, a $4 Miller Lite drafts during the game, and $4 Miller Lite drafts.
A dollar?
One whole dollar an hour before the game.
Wow. I think Kyle's going to be there.
I might.
That's what I just heard.
They got like brick oven pizzas. Woo! And hot roast beef sandwiches. That's what I kind of had. That was good.
A dollar beer?
Dollar beer.
I haven't had a dollar beer since I was in college.
Sprint down there.
I didn't even think they did anywhere.
Yeah,
did that
come
anymore.
Hang out, Kyle. That'd be great.
When I was in school, and this is like, you know, 15 years ago, 16 years ago, that they used to have that at the place I went. Dollar beers. I mean, Hugh, you just got a whole you got a lot of people interested when you said that. So go hang out with you tonight at New Deck Tavern. Watch the Phillies. Bring your rally towel. Kyle will be there for dollar beers, apparently. All right. So one quick thing, and then we'll back to everyone's phone calls. You know, yesterday we come in, it's a celebratory day, right? The Phillies win one of the best playoff games they've ever won in terms of drama, back and forth,
yes.
All that. And I would say it felt like once a segment, maybe once, twice a segment, a caller would come through with, you know, yeah, they won, yeah,
but
Topper, Topper. And it was a lot of anti-Topper or doubt on Topper or just frustration at Topper.
Topper angst.
Yeah, and I didn't have a problem with how Topper managed this week. And let's go through the big things, right? So number one, he took Wheeler out on Saturday after 7 innings.
Some people had a problem with that.
I did not. 111 pitches. I thought Wheeler looked like he was tiring in the seventh inning.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? I mean, you have a good bullpen. They blew it. That's not on Topper. I mean, you got to score more runs in that game. That's on the offense. So
totally agree.
That's the first thing. I was fine with that. Second thing would be the Bohm decision on Saturday. Some people thought that was the wrong decision. Didn't want Sosa in there. I don't think this was just about one game. If I thought a manager was pulling a starter after one game of the playoffs, Hugh, I would think that's quick. I think this Bohm thing's about a longer thing, right? He hasn't hit much the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
He was hurt. Body language, the past postseasons, I was okay with that. I mean, I guess the other thing is the bullpen usage on Sunday, the way he went with, you know, Ruiz and yeah, you know what? We could probably debate some of that, the bullpen stuff Sunday, but I don't know. Did you have a problem with the way Topper managed the first two games?
I didn't, but there were some people that did, and I saw that. They were talking about bad managerial moves and things of that nature. I feel like he did what was needed in that scenario. And the fact that we already know who's pitching game 5. Already threw like over 100 pitches. I think you have to – you're playing the long game at that point, and you're saving him for that number 5 game because you knew it was going to be tough. I think the way that Topper's handled this whole situation and the way that he staggered the pitches or changed the pitchers – it was a smart move, in my opinion.
I mean, his bullpen has given up a ton of runs the first two games. Is that on him, or is that like...
No, that's on the bullpen. And then the fact that your hitters aren't hitting. They said all the right things. It's only so much Topper can do. He can't actually go out there and hit for him. The fact that we were excited early in that game about the Schwarber home run, and we thought that they were going to tack him on, and that wasn't the case... That's probably the most egregious thing that I can think of from that Saturday night game.
If we want to nitpick one thing, perhaps Estevez could have pitched a second inning on Sunday. He had a really nice eighth inning. You could have put him back out there for the ninth. Yeah, he could have. I mean, Strom blew the save, but that ball Vientos hit, I didn't think that was a bad pitch. I really didn't have a problem with the way Topper managed this weekend. 215-592-9494. All right, a lot to jump in on. Aaron Nola, do you trust him tonight? Who's in the driver's seat in this series? I still think it's the Phillies, despite the split here in Philadelphia. Bohm. I believe he is and should be playing for his starting spot tonight. Hugh thinks, no, that game 2 was just a one-off. We'll see. He's back in there tonight, according to Topper. We'll tell you when the lineups do come out, if it is during our show. And the Topper situation, do you like the way Topper managed his first two games? Let's go to Andrew in Princeton. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, how you doing today? First time caller.
Oh, appreciate it, Andrew. What's up, pal?
You know, it's funny what Evan Roberts was saying before. He's such a homer, by the way. You know, he had offense, took offense to the people sitting in back of him because I guess he's not used to people sitting in back at Citi Field since it's been empty the last 5 years, but another story.
He is a homer. I think he'd admit that. I mean, even when he was ripping Harper, you could tell like he wishes he was on the Mets.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think today, at the end of the day, the stars have to come out. Nola included, obviously, but Harper, Schwarber, Turner, like they need these guys to show up, regardless of Bohm and Stott and these other guys. If you're not getting it from your lead guys, you're not going to advance. And I think the biggest thing, like Game One, Wheeler showed up, but the rest of the team didn't. Today, they have to show up. These stars, they have to get a lead, get a good lead, take the fans out of the game, make the Mets go into their bullpen early. The Mets bullpen is terrible, and they have no confidence. You talk about the Phillies bullpen struggling. The Mets bullpen is struggling also. If you can get into the bullpen in the fifth inning, put a lot of pressure on them, I think the Phillies would be in a good spirit at that point. What do you think?
I agree, Andrew. Getting Manaea out of the game, Andrew, it's a good phone call, and we appreciate the call again. He'll getting their starter out of the game today feels like a key because he's been, you know, when we had Evan on a few minutes ago, he mentioned how he's kind of changed his career. He was kind of a middling pitcher, Manaea.
Mm-hmm.
He's been really good the last few months. The less he pitches today, the better I feel. And if he's still in the game in the sixth and seventh inning, it means
yeah,
he's dealing.
Probably, yeah, we got a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, I want him out of this game. I'm going to look up now what the most pitches he's pitched this year. So Sean Manaea, the Mets pitcher today, has not gone over 109 pitches at any point this season. That's kind of between 100 or 95.
Sounds like a work to count day.
95 to 105, they get him out of the game.
Sounds like a work to count day.
Yep.
And we've already established the fact that it looked like their bullpen is leaking oil a little bit. So, yeah, work that count as much as you possibly can today. Hopefully they do exactly what they said they were going to do in the first two games. You know, in the latter part of that game, they started to work the count a lot better. But that first game, they didn't do a great job of that.
No, it was rough. I mean, they were swinging the pitches 2 feet outside and taking the pitchers off the hook. Lou is up on WIP. Hey, Lou.
Hey, how you doing?
Good,
what's
Lou.
Up,
what's
Lou?
Up?
Well, listen, Joe, I've been listening to you guys for a long time, and I'm 81 years old, been watching the Phillies since 1950. They're my team. And I want to talk to you, Joe, about Alec Bohm.
Okay, what do you think about Bohm?
Well, I think he was one of the guys that got you to wherever this team is now.
Mm.
That's number one. Number two, he is improved as a defensive player, unbelievable over last year. And on top of all of that, the way you talk about Alec Bohm, it could be funny to you guys, but I think the only problem he has is throwing his helmet. It's got nothing to do with his hitting because you left Castellanos in there 162 games.
The whole season.
And the whole season.
And wanted somebody to apologize to him for doing his job.
Castellanos is better than Bohm.
How dare Joe?
Castellanos has had a better career than Alec Bohm.
Talk to him, Lou. Talk to him.
Wait a minute, Joe.
Okay, Lou, I'm listening.
Castellanos wasn't an all-star. Alec Bohm was.
But this year. Yeah, just like Castellanos was an all-star last year.
Well, hey, Joe, we're talking about this year.
Talking about this year, Joe.
Yeah, but Lou, over the last 3 months, Castellanos has been one of their best hitters, and Bohm has not been good.
Wait a minute. He's not hitting well, and he did get hurt. And
you just gave me that's all you need right there. He's not hitting well and he got hurt. Who cares what he did in April, Lou?
Who cares?
Yeah, what does that have to do with now?
I see.
But Lou, what does it have to do with now?
Here's what it has to do. That kid is a hell of a hitter. And
he's all right, Lou. You've seen a lot of baseball. You've seen a lot of Alec Bohm. He's not a hell of a hitter. I mean, come on. He's 15 home runs. He's a 15 home run. He's a corner infielder with 15 homers. He has one double since the beginning of August, Lou. Come on now.
That's old school about corner hitters.
No, it's not.
Until he got hurt, he was batting 300. What are you talking about?
Lou, you trust him tonight?
I trust him all the way through to the World Series.
Well, you and I are different on this, Lou. I hope you're right, because hope he hits. I hope he hits.
Here, listen. You said this, and I agree with you. He did falter in his hitting, and he does have a little bit of frustration in throwing his stuff. I actually sent him an email and told him to stop doing it.
You told him.
Because I think that is wrong.
Did he respond?
Other than that, he is a good ball player.
He is. He's pretty good.
Wait a minute. You like how Turner swings at those pitches?
No, I have a lot of problems with Turner. You know that, Lou.
You real disrespectful to your elders.
Yeah, but wait a minute.
You real disrespectful.
Alec Bohm, don't do that.
No, he doesn't, but he also hits meek balls to right field. I mean, he's not driving the ball. Lou, it's a good phone call. Lou, did he respond? I wonder if he responded to Lou's email. That's what I need to know. Lou, I love that phone call.
Is it the updated Cartwright letters from Marple Mac?
Might be.
Lou emailing Alec Bohm.
Where is all this confidence in Alec Bohm coming from? Have I seen
Lou's
a different career?
Lou's watched a lot of baseball.
Yeah, he's seen a lot of Alec Bohms.
Yes, he did. He believes in it.
They're not that special. There's plenty of them over the course of baseball.
I like Lou.
That's because he's on your side of this. This is the same thing as the Rojas stuff last year. Just roll him out there. If he stinks, who cares? It's not like a World Series on the line or anything.
No. He knows that he's the future. Lou's on top of it. You don't have any respect for your elders.
He sent him emails, dude.
No, Lou entered the show, so we got a debate. I like Lou.
I like Lou, too.
Lou's got to call again. That's the most passionate.
Well, speaking of that, we haven't heard from Marple Mac in a while.
No. Well, because his letters failed. I mean, if we're being honest, his letters did not work.
No, I think it was me.
The day they fire Sirianni, Marple Mac's going to be the first caller.
I think it was me, because after a while, Marple Mac just quit acknowledging that I was here.
Well, yeah, you were not respectful to your elders.
I didn't say a word.
No, you were under talking him. You were doing your thing.
You did the low talking.
I didn't say it directly. It was more of a passive aggressive. You know,
everyone knows
Marple
Mac's
a smart guy. He picked up on that,
and he completely started ignoring me.
Everyone knows what you did to Marple Mac. We all know that. All right, 215-592-9494. What are you coming out of the Bohm thing? Should he be playing for a starting spot tonight? I trust Nola. I believe the Phillies are still in the driver's seat. Doubter Douglas over here doesn't believe that. Your call's coming up. Ross Tucker at 12:30. 215-592-9494. Midday show. Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio.
I feel a Schwarbaum coming today.
Yeah?
I feel a Schwarbaum.
Another one?
Yeah, I just feel like today is going to be his day. He's from Ohio.
Well, the Phillies, Hugh, it's interesting.
They're in New York, though.
But he's from Ohio.
So is Hugh, so that's all
that matters. Yeah, that's all that matters. He's from Ohio, I'm from Ohio.
You got to keep track of this. What matters, what doesn't. All right, because you brought that up, Hugh. You want to hear some numbers? Phillies hitters against Shawn Manaea, the Mets starter? Now, we probably should take this with a little bit of grain of salt, as we found out Manaea's become better than he used to be, because he used to be all right. And this year he's had a really nice year for the Mets. But here's the history, because we know Kyle loves history. You're bringing up the Schwarber thing. So here are the Phillies' stats against Shawn Manaea. The best one is Castellanos against Manaea.
Okay,
six for 16 with three home runs.
Okay.
Turner, 5 for 16 with a home run. Harper, 4 for 11, home run. Bohm, 2 for 10 with a home run. Sosa, who I do think is going to be in there today at second, we'll find out, 4 for 8 with a home run. Stott, 3 for 7 with a home run. Schwarber, 2 for 6 with a home run. Hayes, 2 for 3 with a home run. So in the Phillies lineup, potentially depending on who they put in and out today, Castellanos, Turner, Harper, Bohm, Sosa, Stott, Schwarber, Hayes, all have homered against this guy over the years.
Yeah, I like it.
Now, the opposite of that, Real Muto, who we know will play today, obviously, he's 1 for 7, no homers. And then Rojas, Marsh, and Clemens have never got a hit off him. So, but there's some, I mean, Castellanos, Turner, Sosa, Hayes, those are some darn good numbers.
I like it.
They must see this guy well. At least they did in the past. 215-592-9490. Let's go back to the phone lines. Lots to talk about and react to as we get ready for game number three. Our Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Curious whether people come down on a couple polls today. Number one, about the driver's seat for this series. Are the Phillies still in the driver's seat? 61% yes, 39% no. And should Alec Bohm be playing for his starting job tonight? 60% on no, 40% on yes. I find the results of that interesting. 40% are willing to say, yeah, he didn't hit tonight, then no more of this.
It's one of those polls where the people saying yes are like, no, like, this is a real thing. And the people saying no, like, what are you talking about? Like,
they already benched him yesterday.
Yeah, they got mixed emotions about this.
I mean, people are mad at me. Topper's the one that benched him on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm a little mad at you, Joe.
I'm reacted to the manager's decisions.
It's a hot take, Joe.
Yeah, the one that the manager already, he pulled that card already. He already told us this guy's job is, you know, on shaky ground. Let's go to Lou, who's up next. Hey, Lou.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I think Thompson's doing a great job. Many decisions he's made, I would have made. And honestly, I called up Sunday. I got to take accountability as a caller. Luckily, I'm not coaching the team because I was like, maybe we should think about benching Castellanos. So in that vein, Castellanos, you stink. You can't do it 2 days in a row. Hopefully he comes out and does it again. I think we're in the driver's seat. We have the best pitchers. I don't even think he comes back to Philly, honestly. I really don't, because we woke up, we were in a slumber, we had the 5 days off, 6 days off. Now we have all the momentum. And for that I don't know his name, the guy from New York who was on your show.
Evan?
Evan.
Yeah, hey, Evan, you know, we're 15% scum. You're 100% loser, your fan base.
Especially the Mets fan base. I mean, they're a real loser fan base.
They really are. And you go into the wilderness and you poke a bear and you get mauled. What do you expect? You come into our home. We're going to maul you verbally. That's what we do. Okay. You know it coming in. So I don't know why he was so surprised. So with Bohm, I think he has two hits tonight. I'm getting on his side. If he has two pop-ups like he did and bad at bats like he did last game, then you have to bench him because he's just clearly not into it. And we don't have the time to wait around to get him into a groove. And Thompson said it. He said, I think it was Joe on Joe's show, asked him, will you be quicker to pull people? Over the last 2 years, he said he's thought about it and kept him up late at night. Castellanos is one of those guys where he said, no, I'm sticking with him. Bohm has a shorter leash. But I think he hits tonight. And I think we win, I'm going to say 6-3.
Oh, I like that. Let's go. Let's go, Lou. I love the energy there at the end of that call. Good job, Lou. So I think that's a fair way to look at it.
6-3, though? It don't feel like a 6-3 game.
Why not?
They've been pretty hot.
You're afraid.
No, I'm not afraid. I'm just saying.
I feel
it. It's not a being afraid.
Oh,
I
smell fear.
Yeah.
No. I'm just thinking we need to probably score a little bit more runs than that just to be safe.
It smells like lavender.
We need to score more than 6 runs to win this game?
Probably. I'm thinking about 7-8. Am I wrong?
I hope you're wrong.
Okay.
Well, that means our pitching gets shelled if we need to score 6, 7, 8 runs to win the game. 6 should be more than enough. Didn't we give Aaron Nola $170 million? This is a playoff game.
Always comes back to the money.
Yes. If we don't think Aaron Nola could hold them to five, that the pitching staff could hold them to 5 runs today, we've got a problem.
Like this. I feel like we need to bury this team because they've been pretty resilient when it comes to stuff like that. That feels a little close to me. That's all I'm saying. Not nervous. This feels a little close.
I think we're not being honest about what the Mets offense is.
It's good.
It's pretty damn good.
I know.
And they're on fire.
See, Kyle's coming around. He knows what I'm putting.
I think he was right. Like, this isn't really a knock against Aaron Nola. Yeah, like, the Mets are hot. They're going home. Like,
and they're hot.
They're going to be energized. Like, we need to be able to match their energy on offense. I just think it's going to be one of those kind of games.
No, you guys might be right. I just, going into a game saying I need 7 to win this game, you're going to lose most of the time.
I think for all of our mental health, they need another 7 spot tonight.
That'd be wonderful.
That's great. That would make me feel a little bit better.
I can't win like a 2-0 game.
Well, no, that's...
No, you're going to pull your hair out.
Okay, that's a lot to ask. I agree.
I'll be gray tomorrow.
If Nola goes 6 and gives up 2, That should win that game.
That's an immaculate effort by Aaron Nola.
I think that's what he's doing tonight. Six innings, you two runs. Be right. Six innings, two runs from Aaron. I'm going to speak this into existence.
Speaking into existence,
Joe. Doubter Douglas over here is just you're killing me today.
No, I'm the voice of reason up in here, and you're just not trying to hear what I'm saying.
I know what the Mets are, but let's not also turn the Mets into like the murderer's row. They're good. They're good offense.
But okay, ask yourself this question. If they would have had another at bat, are you confident that we would be able to pull that off?
No, they probably would have scored again.
That's all I'm saying.
Dude, they just keep.
That's all I'm saying, Joe.
But
we need to put our foot on their neck early.
You're right about
that. And not ever feel like this is the thing I'm worried about. Never feel like the game is out of hand. I just don't feel like that's a good way of looking at it.
So is this about the bullpen or is it Nola? Because what I've seen the first two games, the Phillies starting pitchers have gone 12 innings, given up one run.
It's about the Mets offense.
Yeah, sure. That's kind of where I'm at.
Like, you can make good pitches, but like this is what the Mets have been doing. Like, they're
all season.
They're taking bad pitches and putting them in the seats.
I know.
Or good pitches and putting them in the seats.
Yeah, but I agree with you, but I think Nola's capable of slowing them down. They're not going to score 8 runs a game.
I don't think they're going to score 8, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know if we're going to need 7. I know
7 really bothered me. if we need 7 tonight, we're in trouble.
I think we'll need, like, 5 or 6.
Okay, I'm okay with that. If that's how we're feeling, that's how we're feeling. But I feel like we should never feel like the game is a runaway.
Well, I think that's clear.
No, you can't. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we know that by now. This is hard. I mean, it's supposed to be hard. It's the playoffs. You only get to play the Marlins once every while in the playoffs.
We about to go.
What's wrong? What do you mean you can't handle it?
You need a puppy.
Game 3 is tonight.
I am miserable.
Take a deep breath. All right.
This is going, like, let's be real. This is either going to be the greatest thing ever, beating the Mets in the playoff series, or it's going to be the worst thing that's ever happened to me.
I know. We all know this. It's like,
but the
stakes
are
there.
I'm not mentally well.
I'm not sick, but I'm not well.
And Hugh's not helping with the doubt.
And then you're just singing. Willy-nilly.
I'm being a realist. I'm just being a realist.
A realist in
a
playoff series?
No, you're acting like everything's fine over there. I'm going to come in freaking looking like Salt and Pepper Hugh over
you,
here.
Let me tell you what happened. When Joe came in here talking about, well, Nola makes so-and-so. He talking about money. That's usually how it goes. It doesn't usually work that way, though. I just had to bring you back to reality.
Isn't that what you bring up with Castellanos all the time? Is the why you're not going to apologize to him?
Because I'm not apologizing because he makes way more money than I do. I'm not apologizing to anybody who makes way more money than I do.
Well, you should
apologize.
That's
most people.
Bus stop yesterday, I was asked, has Hugh apologized yet?
Is that right?
Yes.
And tell that young man at the bus stop or young lady, no. And I'm not. I'm not apologizing.
Well, you're wrong on that. It's okay to be nervous, and I understand why people don't have full trust like Wheeler in Nola. Nola's not as good as Wheeler, but Aaron Nola is very capable of shutting the Mets down for 6 innings tonight. This is not. I think we're almost too afraid of the Mets' offense. They're good. They're not the best offense of all time. They could be had. They could be had. You don't believe that?
No, I definitely believe they can be had.
All right.
I definitely believe, because they have been had.
Yeah, let's see if Wheeler Sanchez kind of did it to them in game 2, and he's not a great pitcher. Jim is in Center City. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Joe. Hey, Hugh. How you guys doing?
Hey, what's Jim.
Up, man? So, what's up? Well, first of all, it's good if everyone named Lou calls in is on the Alec Baum bandwagon.
I think so.
He's fine. Not to worry about it.
He has all the Lous. Every Lou out there.
He's got every Lou. So before the season, I chimed in with you guys. I said I thought about 90 wins. They bested that. I said, but you know what? Regular season means nothing to me. I was worried about two things. Game 6, Game 7, Arizona series. What two things happened in that series? Bats went
cold.
Bullpen didn't perform. What is changed now that I'm back in Red October? What's changed? Bats get cold and the bullpen implodes.
Well, to be fair,
and
Jim, the bats just
gives me the nervous.
Yeah, I get it, but the bats just heated up in a major way to end Game 2.
Yeah, because you're getting involved in one of those games, but now you're in game. We're talking about a series. We're not talking about an individual game. In the overall sense of it, do you have the confidence that the Phil's bats will be there when they need to be? I'll say this to you. I think it's a 5-game series. I worry that we're going to repeat 2011, that we have a Carpenter Halliday situation and we waste another great outing by Zach Wheeler at the bank. I worry about that circumstance.
Jim, it's possible. It really is. And we appreciate the phone call. They don't have a Carpenter, though. That's a bullpen game for them. It's going to be Senga in game five again. I mean, the Phillies could not hit. That's their own problem if they don't hit. But it's not going to be quite like that again. They don't have that starter like we do. All right, let's go to the guest line here. You know what time it is. You know what time it is, Hugh. Who's our next guest?
You gotta turn your mic on.
Yeah,
it's no, Russ Tucker. And this is
come on, don't do it.
Taylor Swift.
Yeah. See, we're getting somewhere.
You couldn't pretend this time.
No, because I made a mental note this morning that Ross is coming on, and he got a little perturbed with me last week when I had the wrong persons. When I said, what did I say, Katy Perry?
Yeah. Well, that was
ridiculous.
You sounded legitimately upset with
me. Yeah. Ross Tucker with us right now at Ross Tucker NFL, the Ross Report on social media, every day talking Eagles. Hey, Ross.
What's up, guys? How are you?
How you doing, Ross?
Oh, man, I just got home. I'm doing great. I was in the land of Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. I was on the call last night with Kevin Harlan for Chiefs and Saints, so just got back to my house here in Eastern PA just in time so I could talk to you guys.
Are you ready for tonight, and how are you feeling about Red October here, Ross? It's swept the region as it has the last couple years.
Well, first of all, okay, number one, regular season baseball and playoff baseball are not even the same sport. It is just unbelievable to me the contrast between a regular season game. For me, is just like background noise, background music. It's like, oh, they won. Okay. Oh, they lost. The playoffs, every pitch. I mean, that last game, first of all, my daughter, I had to call Navy Air Force on Saturday for CBS. So my daughter went with my father-in-law to game one. So I was disappointed that they blew that one. But then watching game two, those last four innings, it's not very often where I watch a sporting event and I'm like physically ill. Like I had like an upset stomach during some of those at bats. It's like the best worst feeling ever, right? It's not a good feeling, but it's still good to care that much sometimes that you feel that.
I was drained. Sometimes after these playoff games, Ross, and that this game two you're referencing is one of those, I felt physically drained, as if I did anything. I sat on the couch the whole game. I didn't even move for 2.5 hours, and I felt tired, like I needed a nap afterwards. That's how you know, and I agree with you, Ross, and I love baseball, but I took my kids to their first playoff game Saturday, and they felt it. They were like, this is so different than when we go in like the summertime. I'm like, it's so different. It's like it is a different sport.
It's unbelievable. When Vientos hit that second homer to tie it up, I just couldn't believe it. I was like, you've got to be kidding me. Thank goodness for Castellanos and that they got that win. And it was just, I mean, for the people that were there, I'm just watching on TV. I can't even imagine. Just awesome. I mean, that's like, if you love baseball, it's because of October baseball, not April through September.
Ross Tucker with us here. Ross, the NFL week six has now arrived. Eagles are about to be back from their bye week. And Ross, this weekend was interesting. I know a lot of people listening probably kind of checked out on the NFL for a weekend because we're so into the Phillies. But one thing that is becoming a little bit evident to me, maybe a lot evident, is it feels like this division isn't quite as weak as I thought it would be coming into the season. I thought Dallas would come back to the pack. They probably have off the last few years, but they're still 3-2. Washington now at 4-1. And Ross, the Giants, who we'll see in a couple weeks, they just look more competitive. They won in Seattle this weekend. What's your thought on the division as the Eagles try to get themselves back together after the bye?
It's a terrific point, Joe. It's something that I referenced on yesterday's Ross Report on social media. The NFC East is much tougher than we thought it would be. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I believe the season win totals for the Giants and Washington were like 6.5. And for people that aren't familiar, that's just kind of what the odds say, how many games they'll win. So they were telling you that New York and Washington would win between 6 and 7 games. I think Dallas might have been at like 9, something like that. And the Eagles, I thought even if the Eagles don't have a great year, I really thought they would win the division. I'm not going to use the word easily, Joe, but I did not think it would be a problem for the Eagles to win the division. it's going to be a problem. I mean, the Cowboys just won in Pittsburgh without DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons and a bunch of guys. The Giants are not a slouch anymore. They just won in Seattle without Malik Nabers, who's by far their most explosive offensive player. They're playing really well on defense, where they've invested a lot. And then right now, I think you'd have to say, with the way they're playing, and in particular the way their quarterback's playing, I think it's fair to say, and I don't know what the odds are on this, I think it's fair to say that Washington is now the odds-on favorite to win the division, which is really hard to believe. But every week, like, I thought the Browns might win that game. I thought, okay, Browns bounce back and the Commanders come back to reality a little bit. Nope. There is no reality. I think this is their reality.
I think it is, too. Let's spin ahead to this game Sunday. Are the Browns this bad? Because the Eagles, even though they've been up and down, Ross, and we know they'll be a little healthier this week, they're 9-point favorites. I mean, that's telling you that the books, at least, the FanDuel, whatever sports book, think there's a big gap between these teams. Are the Browns this bad? Because they look like one of the worst teams in the league right now.
Well, they are one of the worst teams in the league right now. I called their game last week against the Raiders, and what was interesting to me about that one is I thought Deshaun Watson actually played pretty well. So everybody this week is calling for the Browns to bench Deshaun Watson. You know, it's kind of unclear whether or not their head coach, Kevin Stefanski, Philly native, by the way, St. Joe's Prep and went to Penn, whether or not he even has the power to do so. Deshaun Watson still has more than 2.5 years on the $230 million five-year fully guaranteed contract. And he said, we're not making a change at quarterback. That will be the whole conversation. I would just submit to you guys, he wasn't the reason why they lost the Raiders. He played bad against the Commanders, but the week before, I thought Watson actually played pretty well. They're one of these teams where they take turns making horrific mistakes. Amari Cooper leads the NFL in drops. The O-line has had a bunch of injuries. They've taken a big step back. They still don't have Nick Chubb, so they can't run the ball at all. Watson has been inconsistent, to be kind. That would be at best. And even their defense, that they had the best defense in the league last year. Jim Schwartz is coming back to Philly, and they still have some good players on that side of the ball. But even that side of the ball, you know, the Raiders kind of ran over them in that game. You know what they look like at times, Joe? They look like a deflated and or defeated team. It's almost like the guys on defense, they know that the offense and Watson aren't that great, and they're having a tough time overcoming that because they also know what it was like last year when they had Flacco in there. They know what it's like when they have a quarterback really playing pretty decently, and they don't have a guy doing that right now.
Ross Tucker with us here in his weekly spot. Ross, we were talking about some of the gambling stuff a few minutes ago with the odds in the NFCs. It feels like every week now, the biggest underdog, and let's hope it doesn't happen this week to the Eagles, doesn't just cover the number. They're winning these games outright, and these spreads are tight every week. Russ, what's going on here? Is it just more parity than ever? Is it up and down quarterback play? It feels like the gap between the best team, you know, the Chiefs, obviously, but even like the top five teams and whoever the bottom 10 teams, it's week to week, it doesn't even feel that big in the NFL this season. Is that a blip, or do you think that's this season we have going on?
Well, I think that it's this season, and I'll tell you, I think everything's been sort of coming towards this with every passing year, but a couple things are going on. Number one, I don't think there's any, like, dominant team. I thought the Chiefs looked really good last night. They're 5-0. Vikings are 5-0. But, you know, these aren't like the 85 Bears or like the Niners or some of these dominant teams, right? They're good teams, but they're not that great. And so even just looking at this week, there's not a single spread higher than whatever the Eagles-Browns, 8.5, 9, depending on where you look. So, you know, I feel like the last couple years, and maybe it'll happen later on in the season as certain teams are clearly out of it and certain teams are start to, you know, hit their groove. But to have no double-digit spreads, I mean, I'll give you the best example, Joe. You know, on the Ross Tucker podcast, I give out like a survivor pick each week. I was 0 for the first 3 or 4 weeks. I mean, the team that I felt most sure about, most confident, this is the one to use in your knockout, suicide, survivor, whatever you want to call it. This is one, and they lost like the first 3 or 4 weeks. So That gives you an indication, and that's everywhere, by the way. Like those big things in Vegas, those big pools where there's the $14 million and all that. There's hardly any people left in those. I mean, somebody's going to win the whole $14 million by themselves, which never happens.
It is wild. It's kind of unpredictable, but it kind of is. Just take the team that's the biggest underdog, and they'll be the closer win the game. Ross, we appreciate you hopping on as always. Enjoy the game tonight. Try not to throw up, and let's go Phillies. We'll talk soon, Ross.
Have a good one. Let's go Phillies. Please, Nola, please.
We need him. Thank you, Ross. There he goes. Ross Tucker, who joins us every single week. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up, we got a lot to get into here. Rob Thompson, Aaron Nola, Alec Bohm, and of course, who's in the driver's seat for game number 3 and the rest of the series? 215-592-9494. On the other side, let's talk about the bullpen. I'm going to give you my trust rankings, who I want in the game late tonight if it is a close one. We'll do that in your calls. It is the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Jill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. It's how you hop aboard as we discuss all things Game 3 tonight. 5:08 first pitch up at Citi Field. I saw the afternoon show has arrived at Citi Field. They're posting photos.
They're there.
Business trip for Ike and Spike and Jack up there. Do we trust those guys to get two wins?
I do.
Not the Phillies. Drove, I'm talking about just those guys.
Yeah, but who drove?
I don't know. You think they took one car, one clown car?
I think they did one clown car. Yeah, and I wonder who what was the seating arrangement. I can't see Ike sitting in the back seat. I think he little brother Jack can put him in the back seat.
I would guess that too.
They're both big dudes, though. See, that's the thing.
There's no way Jack's not in the back seat.
There's no way. Yeah. Can you imagine Ike in the back seat and Jack sitting shotgun? We're imagining Spike drove. Is that the idea?
Yeah. And what kind of car does Spike have? Spike seems like he drives like a little car. Like one of them little, what's the little box, the one that look like a box?
I could see, I can't picture his car, but I don't think it's like
kind of a small, I would imagine it's on a smaller size.
I don't think it's a pickup truck, if that's what you're asking.
No, he's definitely not driving a pickup truck.
All right, let's go back to the phones, and then I'm going to give my bullpen trust rankings as we head into it. I'm going to rank how I trust the top 5 relievers in the Phillies bullpen. Tyler in Delaware. What's up, Tyler?
Happy game day, Kyle, Joe, and Hugh.
Happy game day. What's up, Tyler? How you feeling?
Joe, I'm really feeling good. I mean, I really, as I've been on hold, my blood's been boiling a little bit because of the fact that I don't know why the fan base has started to become Charmin soft, but we're not throwing Taiwan Walker out there. It's Aaron Nola.
Tell him, Tyler, especially Hugh. Tell him.
Everybody's quick to forget what Aaron Nola did in this spot last year. I'm not expecting a no-hitter. I'm not expecting perfection. But Aaron Nola gave us 5 2/3 against the Braves last year. He walked only one guy. He struck out 9. And he kept them off balance. And he only gave up two runs.
And that team, and Tyler, and that team, just I want to throw this in, then you could continue. Because I got, you know, okay. Kyle and Hugh over here scared of this Mets offense. That Braves offense was better than this Mets offense. And you're right. Nola shut him down.
Exactly. There is no one Met that scares me when you look at what they can do. That pitch that Vientos hit off of Strom was up in the zone. He got a K on the previous at-bat. I could see this going, because you asked about the bullpen. If I were Rob Thompson, if Aaron Nola gives you 7 and 2-run ball, I'm putting Alvarado in for the 8th, and I'm going Estevez for the 9th. You can put up 3 runs on Sean Manaea. You just did it a couple weeks ago. There isn't anything to be scared of. You need to be the one. Hugh, you always say that, dog go hunt. We need to go and hunt the Mets. We need to mute their fans while they're dealing with traffic and all getting in their home ballpark. We need to jump out early, because the Mets fans, if you're talking about two passionate fan bases, you need to get out early and make the Mets fans tight. You need to make their players feel that their fans are tight. And that's going to give the Phillies the edge, because if any of us can take anything away from what the past 2 years of postseason baseball has taught us, in the Cardinals series, we had Wheeler, we had Nola. Last year, we had Ranger on the road, and that's the game that we won in Atlanta. If you gave me Nola, Ranger, and Wheeler against whoever three is on the opposing team in a three-game series, which the series has turned into now, I'm taking our pitching staff, and I'm taking our bats to wake up, because there's leaders in that locker room. It's why the Mets fan who you had on from the fan in New York has a healthy fear of this lineup, because they're battle-tested. They're not scared going into City Field.
When he said it, they're better. He thinks the Phillies are better. I mean, he said it. They have the best team in baseball. Tyler, it's a good phone call. Lot to unpack from Tyler there, but he's not scared of this game or this Mets lineup.
No, nobody's scared. I'm just pointing out certain things. I'm not scared. I think we got this. I think we got this. I really do.
I'm scared.
I know, because I knew someone was scared here.
I have no problem admitting it. Like, we can call it for what
never
it is.
Scared.
You said we need seven runs, right?
No, we did. That would make me feel better.
Well, yeah, of course.
That's fear, man.
That's not fear. That's reality.
I'm trying to talk.
Why not?
Because why are we just giving them six runs?
No, I'm not saying we're giving them six, but I'm saying in order for us to feel comfortable, I think we need to.
I'm trying to help you out here, Hugh.
What?
We're scared.
Nah.
Come on.
Not scared. Just,
I could smell the way. I could smell the way.
It's called being self-aware. It's aware of the surroundings.
Yeah, I'm self-aware. I'm scared.
Okay, so we agree that in order to put this team away, we can't let them linger, right? We can't let them hang around. Nothing like that. Do we agree with that?
That would make me feel better, sure.
Okay, that's not being afraid. That's a fact.
Sure, but the Phillies are capable of winning a 4-3 game today. They don't need six runs to win the game.
No, how are you going to feel going into the ninth? In a 4-3 game,
not as good as I'd feel scared. If it was 8-3. But you know what?
He said, "Just help him out a little bit." Scared?
No, Hugh. Like, we're fans of a team who, right now, I mean, they had the best record in the East. They won the division. They're favorite in the series, and we're talking about, you know, this could go wrong, that could go wrong. We need seven runs. We're scared, buddy. We are.
I mean, you could.
I mean, we should be brimming with confidence right now. The fact that we're not says all anyone needs to know.
You two are unbelievable. And let me give my bullpen trust rankings, all right, for tonight as we go into this thing. I'm not overreacting to this Hoffman-Strom thing. They've been my best relief pitchers the entire season. I'm going back to them. Here's how I would handle it if I'm tonight with Topper. Number one is Hoffman. I'm not worried about it. He's been money for 2 years. I'm giving them the ball right away in the highest leverage spot. Number two, still Matt Strom. I'm not freaking out. It's two bad games. He's gotten so many big hitters out all year. He's two still. I'm going to move Estevez over Kirkering. I liked what I saw at Estevez on Sunday.
Still don't trust him, though.
I mean, I trust him to the he's third on my list. I don't trust him over Hoffman and Strom. But I moved him up to third. Kirkering fourth. Alvarado five. This is not a good Alvarado series for me. They have too many right-handed hitters, only one true lefty. He's still five for me. Nimmo's the guy he could get out if we need him. Hoffman, Strom, Estevez, Kirkering, Alvarado. I'm not freaking out.
See, I heard that wrong. I thought you were moving Estevez down. Estevez down.
He moved up. I moved him up.
Yeah, I'll take that then.
He moved over Kirkering.
No, because I remember a little nervous. He was a tightrope walker a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
But he's excited about being here, and I think he'll give you his best stuff.
I'm sure he will.
There's something to be said about somebody who's excited to be here.
Yeah.
And loving the atmosphere that he's playing in.
He's energized. Yeah. And the Mets haven't seen him much, which is a good thing. All right, phone calls the rest of the way up until afternoons get you to the game. They're live in New York City. We have Kiss the Baby at 1:30, as we do every Tuesday. And coming up, Aaron Nola on his familiarity with the Mets and their lineup. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.